Well, good morning. It's been an eventful morning trying to find this and that. It's almost getting ready for that Easter egg hunt coming up, I think. It's wonderful to be with you all this morning. It's great to see you meeting new people and coming together and worshiping the King of Kings. And that's why we are here in the name of Jesus Christ. And it's wonderful that we even have this opportunity and that we have this word, the word of God, that we can read and learn from and gather, you know, just see. I think I was talking to Sam just the other day, and, you know, we're looking at, in the life groups, we've been studying the life of Abraham, and we also went through a little bit of Elijah in one of the groups as well. And actually, I think we can put each one of our lives in there too, truthfully. Because they are people, too. God chose them. He chose us. If you're a follower of Christ, He chose you. And so you can put your name in that book, too. He's writing a story through your life, in your life, and through your life, just like them. So it was kind of a thought that I said, oh, okay, never really thought about that. But I really believe God is working in wonders, and He's working wonders in our lives and through us as well, just like He did Abraham and Elijah. Well, making friends in high places. As I was going through this is really a two-parter. I was going to try to do this. I said we just finished the first letter of Peter, and I was going, oh yeah, finally. Phew. You know, through all that suffering, all the suffering and the goodness that can come through it. But then I was kind of going, oh, that's great. Now we get, oh, there's a parable. This is easy. Out from the frying pan into the fire. Today, we're going to just do half, because if I tried to do the full thing, we'd be here for at least 2 or 3 hours or something like that. So I said, no, we won't do that. But as I was reading this, I was going, making friends in high places. You know, before we left for Thailand, Joy and I, we were in California and tried to get ready to go. And Joy, she's Canadian at that time. She's now American and Canadian. But she was getting her green card worked out. And there was issues. She went through the interview process and all the paperwork and all that. Everything went fine. And when we went up to fingerprints, they said, oh, the fingerprints are clear, and then they send them off. Well, I don't know. I can't remember the timing, but it seems like it was an awful long time. We didn't hear back from them. I think they sent a letter. Is that right? They said you had to have your fingerprints done again. So we had to go all the way into L.A., not where you want to go, because it's hard to find parking and traffic. You have to almost plan your whole day just to get in there. And then she did it again. And they said everything's fine. And then I don't know if another letter came or something. Yeah, another letter came, said there's an issue. Well, then we're going, oh, what's going on here? So I don't know I don't think it came from, maybe somebody else suggested that we contact our congressman, you know, and Joy contacted and talked to the secretary, I guess it was, and she said she'd get right on it, and it didn't take much longer than that. And then we heard back, everything's fine, she got her green card. And then she was talking with her and she says, well, why did it take, what was the issue? And she said something like, they're just pulling your chain because they can. You know, so we had to go to a friend in a higher place, right? And somebody to get some help from. Have you ever had that opportunity where you've had you come up against an issue you just can't solve on your own, or something's going on behind the scenes you can't see, and you got to ask somebody else maybe a little bit higher up? And this parable reminds me of that. I was thinking about even about the Exodus of the Israelites, because I've just been reading that in my personal reading. And, you know, God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery, and walked them through the Red Sea. And then He had the Red Sea come down on the Egyptians who were trying to capture them again. And he saved His people. And then He brought them to the mountain. So now, not only has He saved them, but now He's going to teach them how to live for Him, how to live with God. And the same thing with this as well. This parable is teaching us these things that, you know, people who our followers of Christ, you know, we're saved, but now we need to know how to live our lives for the Lord. So we're going to be looking at that today together. And there's these three head scratchers going on. And as Randy read, I mean, you probably noticed some interesting comments. And this is Jesus' teaching. This is his word. So, you know, what? So we're going to try to get through that. And I feel these are building blocks to even next week to a life change for us, depending on how we are in our relationship with God, how open we are, how soft our hearts are to him. So let's pray before we go on. Lord, we praise you and thank you, Lord, for all you do for us. Thank you for the sunshine, and thank you for your watch care over us. Thank you for your word that teaches us anew and reminds us of things that we probably knew before and just kind of forgot. And also, Lord, things that we need to know so we can live our lives in a way that bring honor and glory to your name and really impact the lives of the people around us for your kingdom glory. So, Lord, I pray that you just empower my words, Lord. I can't do it on my own. I come with fear and trembling before you, Lord. I'm just a servant. And I ask that you just speak through me, that your name be glorified in it, and that you'll touch our hearts and teach us these things, these truths of who you are and how we are to be before you. I pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Head scratchers. Do you have head scratchers? Do you ever come up against those head scratching moments? You just sit there and go, what? Why did this happen to me? Or, oh, what's going on here? Well, we're going to take a look at that. You know, first of all, you know, going through what Randy was reading there for the first seven, it's kind of just reading like a little story, right? It's fairly simple. You know, this parable, according to the commentator, I think his name is Leon Morris. I was looking at what he was saying. He says this is the most complex and notoriously complex or hard to interpret parable of Jesus. And I was sitting there going, what? Not. But when you look at it, you go, oh yeah, there are some things in here that kind of make it, what? It's like this. So, you know, we're going to be looking into that. But, you know, this first part, you know, what Alistair Begg says, as I was listening to him, because he went through this as well, and he says, you know, you don't let it get too big on you. Don't let it get too complex. You know, the main thing is the plain thing, and the plain thing will be the main thing. So we just have to keep it simple and basic and get into what we see here. So as we see, you know, a rich man and a manager, and somebody maybe found out that this manager of his was using his possessions, using his wealth in a way he shouldn't be doing, you know, wasting it. And the master found out, so he called him in. I don't know if you've ever been in that situation before. You get a call from the big guy, and he says, well, I need to talk to you. And then you sit down. I don't know how many people have been fired here. I won't ask for hands, but if you know how to, you probably know what this guy is feeling, too. He's going, oh. I've had situations like this coming up with a principal or something like that. I'm kind of going, oh, what did I do now? He's going to lower the hammer down on me or something like that. So same feelings here, I'm sure, that this manager had. And he says, give an account of your management, and because you cannot be. So he's going to be fired. You know, he's just saying, I'm going to fire you. You know, once you clean up your stuff, get it off the desk, stuff like that, you're gone. So here's this guy, he's going, whoa. What should I do now? You know, I'm okay, he's not strong enough to dig. And he says, I'm ashamed to beg. So there's really not a lot of other options for him. So he's going, what am I going to do? He says, oh, I know. Bing! Like a little light going on, you know. Remember those cartoons and, so, you know, maybe it's Bugs Bunny or something, and all of a sudden, bing! You know, there's an idea coming up there, you know, pretty good. Well, here it comes. He says, oh, my master is taking away my job. And then I know what I'll do so that when I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their houses. Kind of clever, don't you think? Huh? Don't you think so? This guy's got something going on, doesn't he? He's not just sitting there going, I guess that's it for me. And he walks off and finds himself under a bridge living the rest of his life. No, he's making plans for the future. All right? He's arranging this, you know, all these little, the debtors of the master, you know, he would, you know, have them change, and he had them change it. He wasn't the one writing it down. He had them change those numbers. Now, whether this was, if they knew this was dishonest or not, I don't know. That would take a little while to go through, and I don't want to take too much time on that. But the most important thing is that he was making them, you know, indebted to him, right, for his what looked like kindness. It's to them. So, you know, there he's got a pretty good plan. And then now we come up to this verse 8. Then things get sketchy. All right, first of all, it says the master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. Well, the head-scratcher part of that is, it's going, what? Why is Jesus being, you know, saying something like commending somebody for being dishonest? You know, why would Jesus do that? Well, when you really look at it, it's not the dishonesty that he's commending. He doesn't really admire the dishonesty of the manager. He's admiring the, what? His cleverness, his shrewdness, his street smarts. You know, this guy knew what he was doing. Yeah, he knew how to use that wealth of the master's, you know, whatever way he could to get it, have an advantage, you know, and stuff of that. And now he was in trouble, and he was using, I know how to work myself out of this. So he's commending him for that decisive decision. And actually, later in this parable, we'll see that there's a lot of people that are seeing there's a decision, and they're making a decisive decision coming into the kingdom of God. But we'll get that more next week. So have you ever played checkers or chess? And you know, I don't know about you, but, you know, especially with chess, I'm not the greatest. You know, I just play, and I try to get as many of their opponents. I don't care about winning. I just try to get as many of their guys off the board as I can, you know. That's my strategy, good or bad, or whatever. Usually pretty bad because I lose. But, you know, if they know what they're doing, they can trick me pretty good. And I tell you something, if those pieces aren't flying out all over the place afterwards, you know, after the game, they checkmate me. You know, I don't know. It feels good when you just wipe those things off the board, don't it? Doesn't it, huh? You just, bishop hits your friend in the head and stuff. You go, oh, yeah, I feel better now already. You know, that type of thing. There's a lot of laughter because I think people know what I'm talking about. They might have been the victim. But we're talking about, you know, he got me. You know, actually, after what I finally, even if I'm mad I lost and stuff like that, I go, you got me. You played it well. You beat me. And I got a feeling, you know, just the master saying, you know, great, you know, kudos for you for thinking this thing out, for not running away and crying and doing whatever, but thinking these things through. So there's something about that. So that was the first head scratcher on that for me. And I thought that was a pretty good answer. Then he got next part where he's talking a little bit later on here. He says, right after that, actually, he says, for the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are the people of the light. Well, we know who the people of the world are, right? That's us, or that's part of us, or, you know, people around us too. And the people of light are who? What's that? Christians, right? People of the light you refer to as somebody who knows Christ, who's following Christ as their Lord and Savior. So you got these two. So you got the people of the world, and you got the people of Christ. And there's, you know, there's something different there. Well, Jesus is saying, well, you know what? you know, these guys of the world, they really know what they're doing. You know, they are, you know, you look at the people around us and they are really, you know, if they're businessmen or teachers or whatever, they're really into their stuff. They put a lot of effort out there. I know a lot of teachers, when I used to teach, they'd come up with great ideas. And, you know, you could tell it took hours and hours, lots of planning and stuff like that for them to do. They were really passionate. They used their ingenuity. They were clever. All those things, they were doing so well. And they did well. They taught well. Business people, they earn a lot of profit. They make great connections around the world. You know, their business grows because they put so much effort, all passion. If you ever saw that documentary on Walt Disney, you know, he had to persevere. He had to really persevere. He should have quit many times. Things were not going well with him. But he had this dream, and he just couldn't let it go. So he persevered, and he was able, you know, the doors opened for him finally. And then you have, you know, Disneyland, of course, Disney World, and all around the world now, too. So you got, but see, what I'm saying is that these people, the world, they know, you know, there's passion. You know, they put a lot of effort. They have all these things going on. If you ever hear those rings on your phone, and you know who usually is, right? It's marketers. They're always ringing on my phone. That's why I keep my buzzer off these days. And people say, why didn't you answer your phone? Because I didn't hear it because I have it off because I'm tired of listening to these marketers. They just keep on calling. No matter what, I keep on saying, I'm not old enough. I did not apply for the disabilities thing. You know, I don't know. You're probably getting that too. And I'm going, you know, just when is my no and no? And they keep calling back. But, you know, these marketers are persevering. And they probably get people, you know, people saying bad things to them and all that stuff. They keep on picking up that phone, keep calling. You know, that's their job. You know, they're persevering and their hearts are willing to put it out there for a little while anyways until they finally go, ugh. But you see, if that wasn't working, then you know they wouldn't be doing that, right? You're always going to hear those marketers because it works. It catches a few people, enough people to where they continue to use it. So, and God's saying, well, you know, people of light, you got something to learn here. Church, followers of Christ, you got something to learn from the people of the world. Because a lot of us don't even read our Bibles. So how are we going to know the one we follow? Or they might read it a little bit here, a little bit there. A lot of us don't really have a lot of time to pray, you know. So we just kind of live our lives. We kind of go and do this and do that. A lot of us don't really know who God is that well because we haven't spent a lot of time with him in a relationship and quiet time talking with him, you know, either prayer and the word or both. Or, you know, he says, and a lot of you aren't even using your ingenuity, your cleverness in the church. You know, we have so many gifts. All of us here, so, you know, the body of Christ is a wonderful, you know, various people, different experiences, skills, abilities, gifts, you know, spiritual gifts that God has given us to strengthen the church and to not just to be a great group of people here, but what the kingdom of God is, it's about going out there too. So it's building up of one another here, strengthening us and giving us opportunities to worship God and to encourage one another and then to train one another, equip one another, and to get out there and advance his kingdom. A lot of times, that's something that he's challenged me when just reading this. I'm going, oh, I feel the fire. Going, oh, ouch, oh, ah. You know, so, you know, he's challenging his people, challenging me, challenging you, you know, because if you looked at the church, now there are some, you know, alive churches, and I say our church is alive, you know, there's a lot of people going out and we're, you know, worshiping here, but there's many people going out and they're praying and they're, you know, and encouraging and inviting people and, you know, being a part of the community as well. You know, but a lot of churches are bankrupt. If they are a business, they would be bankrupt. And if you haven't noticed, there's a lot of churches going, boom, closing the door. Or there's a lot of churches that are bankrupt from the Word of God. They don't use the Word of God. They don't preach it. They don't speak it. They don't teach it. They don't do anything with it. There's no Christ-centeredness in the church. They're bankrupt. Well, you might get people coming in because you're clever and, you know, there's that people the world thing, right? But one thing about this is all this, you know, even with a shrewd manager, temporal, right? It's temporary. They're thinking of the now. They're thinking of the now. We are a people of instant gratification, right? We want it now. So the people of the world are the nows. And we talk about that more next week. So this part here, you know, Jesus knew this, and he says, you know, as he's sending out his 12 disciples to go and spread a word in these different villages, he said, well, hey, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves, man. This is, you know, but you got me. And he says, you know what? If you're going to be out there, you got to be shrewd as snakes and innocent as doves. So he's saying, use your abilities, use your experience, use your skills, use all I've given you, all the resources that I've given you, all those giftings, and be a blessing to others. And do it in a way that it's not going to cause anybody harm. You're not going to beat somebody in the back of the head or try to steal something from them. But it's just a blessing. So, you know, those are words to remember for us as well. And then he goes on to this last head scratcher here. And it says, as he finished that, he says, I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourselves so that when it is gone, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. Wow. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? You know, in 1 Chronicles 29, you know, David, you know, they're getting prepared to build the temple. And they were gathering resources. And the people just outpoured tons of resources for the temple with joyous hearts. Great praise. You know, Randy, that was the call of worship as well. Part of that message that David had, that prayer unto God. You know, just knowing that all things that we have come from him. Everything. The clothes, the car, the house, the job. Truthfully, he's the one that resourced all that for us. Even our very heartbeat, our every breath, you know, is from God. And so we should always give him glory. And then we should use these resources, which are from God. They're limitless. They're limitless. Use them so we can bless others, so we can tell them that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That the only way we can truly find true life is in Jesus Christ and him alone. And we need him because he's the one that saved us. He's the one that died for us on the cross, taking our place. We should be the ones dying for our own sin. But he took it on himself for us. And then he rose again on the third day. And it comes up within 2 Corinthians, he's saying, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. He's saying, you know, I've given you these resources. Use them. Make friends. Make friends. Get out there and just bless these people. And some people think, oh, it's money, money, money. It's not always money. Sometimes it's just time. Sometimes it's our attention going over there and visiting them. Showing that we love them and care for them. Sometimes it's a prayer. Sometimes it's just you know, the skills that he gives us and the abilities to be able to say something or do something to encourage them using the Word of God. So all these are different resources that God gives us. You know, it's not always money, you know. So we think about these things, but he says, you know, do this, use my resources, use my wealth to make a difference, to impact those lives. Use it, just spread it out. Pour it out fully on these people. Bless them, care for them, love them. And then we're going to reap a harvest. People's lives will be impacted. Our lives will be impacted. And people will be coming to know the Lord. And then when it comes down to when everything is finished, we can't give him more. God takes us back, takes us to his home. Then there's going to be a reception. You know, the Lord's going to say, hey, welcome. Good and faithful servant, welcome. Sharing this rich inheritance with me. Share it with me. Share this wonderful eternal life with me. And then you're going to see people that maybe you know and maybe you don't know. And they're going to go, hey, look, that guy, he prayed for me. He didn't even know me. I lived overseas, thousands of miles away, but he prayed for me. Or he gave, you know, he gave of his resources. He was given to these this medical ministry that saved my life. I was sick and I was healed. And then I came to know Jesus. There's so many different ways that God uses these resources through us, but we got to be willing to sow. To sow. Not to keep it to ourselves. Trust God that he will always provide for our needs in that respect as well. A lot of times we know, I can only give a little bit. I can only do a little bit of time or a little bit of, I can only pray a little bit or I can only give a little bit of money to this missions or maybe a little bit to the church, you know, something like that because I got to watch out. Well, what are you watching out for? This is God. He created the universe. So you don't think that he can provide for all your needs, and that's one of my, you know, issue, you know, working through with God. You know, I told you, from the frying pan into the fire, right? You know, this is hitting us all. And next week, you know, we'll talk a little more about that as well. So just these basics are so important for us. And but really, I think what it really comes down to here, when they're talking about, you know, you're going to be welcomed into eternal dwellings. You know, there, we do have a then. It's not just a now. We have a then, and we're waiting for it, and we're preparing for it. God's already prepared the rooms for his people. You know, now we're waiting on his timing and all that. And he's saying this, invest. Invest your life. Invest your life in the lives of others, whatever it looks like. But invest because it's worth it. And we'll, like I said, next week we'll get in a little bit more of those details as well. So living with them and, you know, these building blocks, you know, if you want to assess your life, a good way to do it is look at your bank book. You see where your financial resources are going. Right? You can look at that. That's a good way to assess there. And you can assess your, from looking at your daily planner, where you're spending your time and energy, your abilities, your skills, your experience. And then when you're at your jobs or schools and things like that, what are you doing there? You know, are you praying? Are you blessing? Are you showing love, kindness? You know, that's all part of the ministry. That's what God has for you. You know, he's in you. You are you're part of the royal priesthood. So act like a priest. You know, intercede for these people around you. You might not even have to say anything. You know, you can pray for them quietly or you can ask, hey, do you need some prayer? Can I pray for you? Boom. and whatever else God leads us to do as well. So we need to be open to that and take it to God. You know, open your hearts, take it to God, talk with him, be real with him. He knows your hearts, as it says here. He knows our hearts. Later on in this parable, he talks about that. We can't hide them, so we may as well be open with him and have a real heart-to-heart chat about where we are in this investing. You know, what are we investing in and through our lives here? So open, and it's a willing heart to change. So it change is difficult, but I tell you something. You know, when it's done and the strength of the Lord and it's done for his purposes and for what, you know, for his will. When we moved to Thailand and stuff like that, I'll never take those 15 years back. That was such a blessing to be there, to invest what God put in our hearts into their lives. And we don't know how many Thai people we're going to see in heaven. But we trust that there's some anyways. Probably thousands that we know be a part of what the Lord's going to do there in doing right now. And I just want to end it with this. This is a good scripture. And actually, if you want to turn to 1 Timothy, because I didn't do the first part because I didn't want to make two slides. Sometimes I get a little stingy on slides. So if you go to 1 Timothy, right at the end of 1 Timothy 6, and there's a, I'll read from 17. There, verse 17. It says, command those who are rich. And if you don't know it, we are rich. You might not think so, but if you go to other countries, pretty much all the other countries around this world outside of Europe, you're rich. You can't. I know people that are earning maybe, what was 200? What was 200 baht, Joy? Can you remember? 30, what is that? About $10. $5 a day. All right? They're able to live on that. But that's what we're looking at. So when we look at our lives and we're earning $295 a day or whatever it is, you know, there's a big difference, right? So this comes right here. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant nor put their hope in wealth, all right? And that's our challenge, right? That's our challenge. That's my challenge, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And those riches in Christ are ours, right? And then it goes to this 18. It says, command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, to be generous with and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasures for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life. Get that at the end there. My book says, that is, my translation here says, that is truly life. I love that. I really do. I mean, that's powerful to me. You know, laying up these treasures, and there's a firm foundation for the coming age. We're thinking of the then. So that we, you, me, may take hold of the life that is truly life. Life here, temporary. Life then, eternal. It's just where we're going to spend it. Let's pray. Lord, your word, we praise you for this, Lord. Yes, head scratchers, but Lord, your word is true and it's powerful and it shapes us and it changes us. And we do ask that you change our lives, change our hearts, Lord, that we can be your people, excuse me, your people that will invest in the lives of the people around us, people around the world. not just to throw money and resources away without thinking, but to, for the purpose of building your kingdom, for the purpose of giving people opportunities to receive the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. And to earn, to have this, to be a part of this wonderful inheritance, this eternal inheritance that is waiting for all those who believe, that nobody can take away, that can never be lost. So thank you, Lord, for this word, for the challenge, Lord, and the encouragement, Lord, because we know we're not doing this on our own. We need you, and you are right there with us. You're our Father. You're just teaching us how to live in a way that brings honor and glory to your name and completes the purpose that you have for us. So we thank you for that, Father. Thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and all those people say, amen.